if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. It's episode 321. This is our 2024 FedEx St. Jude Championship and D&D Real Czech Masters Tip Podcast. Barry O'Hanran and Paul Williams join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss our selection for this week. So I haven't said this for a while. PGA and DP World Tour action. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
Visit our world-famous golf betting system website where we have in-depth betting previews for the St. Jude and the Czech Masters. We've got TPC Southwind strokes gained rankings. We've got form stats, plus, of course, new and old predictor models for the golf action this week. All of our content is available across both events completely free of charge. There's no paywall. On X, Barry is at A Good Talk Golf. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel where this podcast is available. Now, you guys, as listeners, power this podcast, so we need your five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, I will read them out at the start of a future show. As I say each and every week, leave your name and where you are in the review. Also, the five-star button on Spotify. Please give it a press. Right, this one's entitled, A Must Listen for All Golf Betting Fans. Five stars. Never miss an episode. My golf betting week doesn't start until I have listened to this great analysis. Some of the trends I consider more important than others. Don't bother with price of previous winners at all. Whereas ability to putt on a particular grass type I find really valuable. Wish the tracker model was available as an app. Would definitely have it open Tuesday to Thursday. Now that is from, he hasn't left his name where he is, but it's from 44RRAL and he is in the UK. I appreciate your time. Thank you for that.
Brilliant stuff. Yes, useful feedback as ever and thanks for taking the time to send that through.
Maybe that is their name. The parents just, you know, got creative.
Thank you, 44RRAL, for your... five-star review. Keep them coming. And yeah, that Spotify button, very, very handy. You've only got to press it. Really, really useful. Well, we've got a packed show. I might have an inductee to the post-it note of shame, just to get that out there. I think that's probably the most important news of the week, actually. We may have a new inductee.
May? I think that's almost...
I'm going to discuss it with you two first.
Go on.
Right. Let's crack on. We clearly had a podcast winner last week in the form of Aaron Rye. His first PGA Tour victory. I thought it was great. I also thought it was fantastic the way that Billy Horschel on the back nine was basically willing the guy to win. I thought that was class from Billy. Nice guy, Billy Horschel. I know that we weren't the only one. I know that many, many listeners will have been on Aaron. But congratulations, guy. It was nice. I got on at 35-1 with Betfred last Monday. And I did say, I believe, in the podcast that he was at 50-1 with one book on first show. Yeah. Now, if any of you on that, brilliant. Well done. So congratulations, guys. Well played.
Lovely community win. I did see a 50-1 ticket on our Facebook group, actually. So someone managed to snare one of the early prices. But yeah, 40-1 for me. I think you were 40-1 as well, Barry, weren't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well done, boys. That was a really good win. Highly unexpected at various points of that final round. Highly.
That's gold for you. But yeah, for him to go and to shoot a bogey 364 in the final round of any tournament, and you know, you're putting yourself into that position to win. And yeah, he needed some help from Max, didn't he? Needed a lot of help from Max at various points, but that is the way these tournaments go. And in the end, you can't take it away from him. That the final hole, which isn't an easy hole by any stretch of the imagination, for him to make birdie there in the virtual dark was very impressive. As were his numbers.
He could have been a few shot, two or three deeper in his score on Sunday. He could have been a 62 because he missed a couple of short, very makeable, two or three very short and makeable putts where he was probably favourite to make them.
Mm.
Then he rolled in a couple of others, so it all balances out. But it was a exhibition by Rai. Just control. There was very little fear of anything going wrong in his progress. It was about what the rest of the field were doing, and that was a hell of an assist from Grazerman.
Yeah, just a bit. But yeah, we were talking about him off mic, and there's something about him is the kind of player that could go through and snare a title in the relatively near term. So one to certainly keep an eye on. Yeah, but with Aaron, first for strokes gained approach, first for strokes gained tee to green, and gained more than half a stroke a day with a putter. And that around Sedgefield tends to get the job done, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think if you look at the strokes gained, I basically went as it was going through the, I mean, talk about a badly affected tournament in terms of weather. They did well to get the 72 holes in. More of that in a short while. He was just about tickling enough putts in strokes gained to keep himself relevant if you just looked at previous winners. He kind of took the Siwoo Kim route from 2016, where absolutely fairways, greens, amazing approach play, wasn't having to do too much with the putter to make birdies.
Yeah.
Because it was, you know, the proximity was so good. That he took that route, and just a note for next year, he joins a list now. I think it goes all the way back. I'm just scanning here. It goes back all the way to Jim Herman, believe it or not, the Hermanator, who were all in the top 15 for driving accuracy, arriving for the Wyndham.
Mm-hmm.
So that tournament is all about straight. You can't be too long off the tee. You've got to be middle to short length off the tee. Dead straight, ball striker, plotter.
Is that in the previous eight tournaments, Steve, for accuracy, or is that the season long? Or
that goes back. Yeah, it's a season long number, and it goes back the last five winners now. Herman Kisner, Tom Kim. You'd have to extrapolate it because he didn't have a card at the time, but I have got a note here to say he was in the top 15 for driving accuracy if he'd have been in the stats. Lucas Glover, and now Aaron Rye.
That's
a pretty strong statistic.
That rough was quite juicy to the side of the fairways.
Yeah.
And you saw what it did to Grazerman, put him in that zone of doubt. Do I try carry the bunker? Do I stay short of it? And he straddled that decision and made just the killer shot. That was the one that just, you know, ended it, really, when he stuck that shot into the bunker and left himself that 60-70 yards. And you know, that's just, I guess, part of the things, the lessons you learn on tour, you know.
It's one of those rare tournaments where
it's
one of those rare tournaments where short and straight is actually exactly what we were looking for. But you need to be able to putt. And that was the beauty with Rye, wasn't it? The ball striking over the last few events had actually gone a little bit awry because came over to Scotland, came over the Open Championship, but you can kind of ignore that. I mean, that's clearly coastal golf. But he was putting so well. And that's what gave you hope that actually if he found the ball striking again and actually started hitting more greens, he had confidence with the putter.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how it turned out.
Yeah.
They were saying on TV he changed his grip just a little bit, and that just had him flushing the ball again. There were so many shots of his that were just like falling on top of the pin. It was incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, really impressive. Really, really impressive.
Max Grazerman's a good player. I said to you a while ago, I was going to put him up at the ISCO Championship a few weeks ago, and he was literally, I think someone dropped out of the Scottish Open field, and they literally must have tapped Max on the shoulder and said, you're not going to Kentucky, mate. That charter flight over there, you've got to jump on it, you're going to Scotland.
Grab your passport.
So he did. Yeah, so he did. I think Griezmann's a proper talent. You said that, in your opinion, Barry, his ball striking, just the way he hits the ball, it's a level above, yeah?
Yeah, the sound is just, it's a heavy hit, yeah. So it's he's definitely one to watch and keep an eye on. I mean, that's, what, 2 seconds now in the last few weeks?
Mm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think in the fall he's going to be a danger, but it's going to be one of those ones where you've got to basically cover your nostrils and just take the price that's on offer. Because clearly he's not going to be 50 or 66 to 1 in a full series event in September or October.
No.
Right, my post-it note of shame. Do you want me to recap who's on it?
Yeah, go on.
We do have new listeners.
Is it a big list?
Not that long. Ben Arng, never won on the PGA Tour. Austin Cook, Emiliano Grillo, Russell Henley. I'm sure thousands of people will be on this week. I praised the guy up, but Billy Horschel's on there for some reason. Luke List, Patrick Rogers, Adam Scott in majors, Brendan Todd. That is my post-it note of doom, i.e. players I never back. I've got a new inductee I want to discuss with you. His name is Matt Kuchar. Now, I've tipped up Matt twice in fairly recent succession. I tipped him up at the end of last year at the RSM Classic. That's his home event where he bases himself there over the winter. And back then, believe it or not, he had a real chance of squeaking into the world's top 50. And that would clearly open up a lot of doors for his 2024 schedule and majors. And didn't really do a great deal. And then last week I put him up at 90 to 1. He did lead after 36 holes. And from that point on, just kind of, well, he just sat there effectively, didn't he? Everyone else was catching up and overtaking him, and he just didn't move anywhere.
Yeah, three ahead at one point.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. He did actually make a few birdies, didn't he? And then he literally started going backwards.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering whether to add Matt Kuchar. It's nothing to do with the fact that he acted like an absolute prat on the 18th on Sunday and caused no ends of trouble to all the volunteers, the PGA Tour, and anyone doing any golf content on the Monday morning.
Mm.
But I'm starting to wonder with Matt whether age has caught up with him, and can he really... This is a list for me of play. I want players that you tip up that you've actually got the ability to win. So I'm seriously toying with Matt Kuchar going on the list. What do you guys think to that?
I'm not sure he's gained many fans over the last 24, 36 hours. But yeah, I don't know. He wasn't particularly on my radar anyway. So when he was leading, it looked like an inspired tip. But
it was all putter.
Yeah, but yeah, as you say, just couldn't push forward. And I think the antics on the 18th. And yeah, I know, understand it. It was his prerogative to choose not to play anymore. But yeah, it's the disruption and.
Yeah,
kind of the entitlement that kind of displayed was
childish.
Yeah, it was just sad to see, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's a manifestation of his poor play. So he's just lashing out, and that was his way to do it, and it was just stupid.
Yeah,
like, look, he's been on my whatever version of Steve's post-it note of doom or shame since he did over the caddy in Mexico.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, had, mate,
had,
yeah.
Had no good or bad about Matt before that, but then he did that, and like, you're just, that's an instant red card for me. So yeah, to see the antics, it's just like, dude, don't do it. Why? And obviously instantly apologized because somebody in his team said, "What are you doing?" So, but it's too late, the damage is done. Yeah, move on. Steve, I think he just gets like probably a, like, there might be a special section on the post of Note of Doom.
Yellow card?
No, no, because like he can't, I don't think he can win on the PGA Tour anymore.
That's the point.
His only chance, his only chance is at two or three events where the courses are short enough.
Yeah.
Part two, there's just the building amounts of evidence that he's just not a good dude. So he couldn't even root for him properly. So,
Yeah. I can hear people screaming at me, oh, Steve, but Emiliano Grillo won last year, and so did Russell Henley, won 2 years ago. Billy Horschel won this season. Yeah, they did. But it's ridiculously, if you actually did it as a mathematical equation, I'm sure if you're backing Emiliano Grillo, Russell Henley every week to win, you're going to be way down.
Mm.
And that's the point of the post-it note of doom. I mean, Patrick Rogers. Punting. Yeah, exactly. No, I think I'm going to add him. Yeah. So, Matt Kuchar, you have been added to Steve Bamford's post-it note of doom. And I know that must cause him major apprehension. I'm sure I'm sure that his team will be telling him, because they must listen to this podcast intently every week. Right, we've got a packed show. Let's move on with the FedEx St. Jude Championship, shall we? The start of the playoffs. I don't know whether to be excited or to treat the playoffs with contempt each year, but I'm excited for it because you do get to see the best golfers over 3 consecutive weeks. Just to put this out there, the BMW Championship next week is being played in Colorado. It's being played at a height that is above Denver, the main city of Colorado. And apparently the ball flies at between 11 and 12% further on this golf course, which is a Jack Nicklaus design, than it would at sea level. Mm. The course is almost 9,000 yards long. So I need to talk to someone far more intelligent than me to work this all through as to what kind of players we want to be using at Castle Pines next week.
That's long.
It is long, isn't it? I don't think I've ever seen a golf course that long on the PGA Tour, and we do have some longies.
Mm. Even translated, that it'd still work out around about 8,000 yards with the altitude.
I know who's going to get tipped up massively. Actually, I think I've over-egged this. I do apologise. I have over-egged it. It's 8,130 yards.
Oh,
still long, though. Just I don't think difference. I've seen a number that high on the PGA Tour.
Yeah. A long walk, regardless.
Thing is, I suppose, if you do the maths and you take the 10%, 11% off, it comes in at about 7,250 yards par 72.
It's actually a short course if it's a par 72.
So it's actually, I will actually classify it as a short course, because they're going to take it apart and everyone's going to be tipping up Colin Morikawa because he's really good on Jack Nicklaus designs.
I can't wait till you tip him up next week. I'm going to do that voice.
Yeah.
At the top.
We're playing this week, TPC Southwind. It's in Memphis, Tennessee. It is hot, guys. It is hot. Is there any way one of you can go on the predictor model right now and just max up humidity and who plays well in ridiculously hot conditions? Because apparently it's going to be touching 100 degrees Fahrenheit this week in Memphis.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I think that actually had something to do with Matt Kuchar. He was effectively played, what, 39 holes?
You were top 10?
Yeah, please. What we got? Okay,
top 10, starting from 10th, humidity positive. Emiliano Grillo, Sam Burns, Morikawa, Xander, Finau, Rory, Cantlay, Scheffler, JT, and Hovland.
Hmm. We see Hovland, don't we? Because he's won Puerto Rico and Mexico twice.
Yeah.
This is a rolling 5-year statistic for the listeners. So, I get that. Oh, there's one name in there that I've tipped up. The golf course this week, TPC Southwind. I mean, we've seen it every year, so that, no, none of this is new to regulars. Ron Pritchard, original. It's a bit nondescript in my mind. There's plenty of water in play, which always puts me off Tony Finau. It's got 11 holes with water in play. It's a par 70. It's 7,243 yards long. I categorise it as medium length. I also categorise it as a mid-score golf course because pretty much every single year it's 15 under, 15 under, 16 under wins it. It's got some very, I wouldn't say peculiar, but it's got some very obvious agronomy as well. Zuija grass fairways and champion Bermuda grass greens. The greens themselves are small as well, 4,300 square feet. So keep the ball out of the water, hit plenty of greens, which are tough to hit because they're small, and we're looking for guys that putt well on Bermuda grass greens. Now, we haven't got time because it's a packed show. There is a list within my preview of all golf courses on the PGA Tour and in majors recently that have featured Zuija grass, fairways. It's Bermuda grass rough. We've also got champion Bermuda grass greens. Now, Wyndham last week also featured champion Bermuda grass greens. And I know for a fact that I believe we had a community win last year at this event on Lucas Glover, who had the audacity of winning the Wyndham Championship and then winning the FedEx St. Jude Championship the week after, which made his wife very, very happy. Didn't get a pick, though, for the Ryder Cup.
No.
If you remember correctly. Because clearly Zach had already pre-warned all of his mates that they were in the team anyway. Interesting to see what Jim Furyk does. That's another angle, by the way, for this. We're only 2 weeks away now from the selection process for the for the President's Cup. So they'll play this week. They'll play next week. That will then signify the qualification end. So the top six in the rankings for both teams get automatic picks. Then you've got Mike Weir for the international team and you've got Jim Furyk for the American team. We'll have six captains' picks the week after the Tour Championship. That's how it's going to work. Lots and lots and lots of talk at the moment about Jordan Spieth interviews. He's going to have his wrist operated on as soon as the season ends. I don't think Jordan Spieth will get a captain's pick this year. He's so far down the rankings and it's so obvious that he's injured and he's telling everyone. I think that they'll clearly give JT a captain's pick if he needs one. And they are going to knock Spieth on the head and say, oh, go and have your operation, Jordan. We'll see you at the Ryder Cup next year.
Yeah, it's a get-out, isn't it? And it works.
Yeah, it's a get-out. You can see that. And quite rightly, because he hasn't played good enough golf. And when you've got such a bad injury with your, you know, it keeps popping out every time you're hitting sort of mid-irons, you can see why he's struggling. So, apart from that, there's nothing really to report on this golf course. In terms of the way it plays, strokes going off the tee, the winners here across the, going back to Daniel Berger in 2017, 13th was the average position within those that made the cut for off the tee, 7th for approach, 19th for strokes gained around the green, 8th for tee to green, and strokes gained putting 12th. But if you actually look at the raw numbers, and I've done this over the last 3 years, 73% of all strokes gained were from tee to green and only 23% with the putter. Now, that compares to the Wyndham last week, where historically it was 51% from tee to green and 49% with the putter. So, team no putt is definitely in effect this week. For me, it's a real ball-striking test. It's all about players that are flushing it right now with their approach play and are comfortable on these champion Bermuda grass greens. There's also, of course, the element of jeopardy because only the top 50 in the FedEx Cup come the end of the St. Jude Championship move forward to this 8,130-yard course at altitude in Denver next week. It's not in Denver, but it's in Colorado. Now, just going through the list, Jake Knapp sits on the bubble at the moment at 50. Notable players outside the top 50, Harris English, Nick Taylor. I won't mention Patrick Rogers or Eric Cole. Justin Rose is at 55. Victor Hovland is at 57. Minwoo Lee at 62. Jordan Spieth at 63. Victor Perez, as we heard all last week, was on the bubble and remained on the bubble. He's at 70. You've also got Emiliano Grillo at 69. I'll tell you a player that I haven't tipped up, but it was all over my statistics, my moving 8-week stats, and I don't think is a bad bet this week. Jonathan Vegas. Johnny Vegas is at 68. And right now, across my 8-week rolling statistics, he's 9th for approach and 8th for tee to green. I guarantee he's triple digits. I think he's a decent each-way punt, Johnny Vegas. Right. How many selections have you two got?
Just two for me.
Both. I've got a feeling, Paul, that you've gone for Aaron Rye.
You said that last week.
I have.
Yeah, I have.
I just know. Well, go on then. You guys go through Aaron Rye first, because I'm not going to put anybody off backing Aaron Rye.
Go on, Barry. You go first. I'll back you up.
It's a very simple statement. It's playing with house money. The guy is striping at the moment, going to a course where tee to green game is important. Putter's working. I don't think too much. It feels like too much would have been taken out of him last week, because he's been doing this all summer long.
Yeah.
If he had finished second or third last week, Steve, you'd have been automatically betting him for this week.
Oh, I would be, because he'd be outside the top 30 and he would need to play well to. I mean, it's a breakout year for Aaron Rye, isn't it? He just needs one more kind of top 5-y event finish or top 8. And he's pretty much guaranteed a Tour Championship berth, which is a huge deal for these guys. So, yeah, he's playing with house money. It's the Lucas Glover approach from last year, isn't it?
Totally as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Glover did exactly that, didn't he? Won the Wyndham, won St Jude, and that was when he just found that top gear and capitalised on it. And we talked about his stats from last week, right? And, you know, first for strokes gain approach, first for strokes gain tee to green. That absolutely works here.
Yeah,
you know, if you look at his form before the win, 3 top sevens in his previous 4 starts. He's got a best 12th here. That was back on debut at the 2019 WGC that was held here. Also, you go back through his record from his DP World Tour day and even his Challenge Tour days. After his Scottish Open win, he finished 3rd a couple of weeks later at the Scottish Championship. So he didn't go completely off the boil. And if you go back to 2017, when he was largely a Challenge Tour player, he won 3 times in 11 starts. So he's the kind of player, and we've seen this with his continued good form in the last few weeks and months, he's that kind of player that once he does find his game, his top game, he does appear to be able to stay at that level for a period of time. I wouldn't be remotely surprised to see him win 2 on the trot. You know, monkey's off his back. He's come into another course, which, like last week, seems to suit. And, you know, he's got to be riding the crest of a wave. 45-1 I took with extended places. And I think that's, I think he's got a great chance of finding his way into the into the paying each way places, if not really contending once again.
Yeah. I wouldn't put anyone against you on those. He came very, very close to me. For me, just to point this out, actually, two things I want to point out. Congratulations to Betfred, Bet365, and Boyle Sports offering 8 each way markets in a 70-man field. That's always good. Also want to point out, Paddy Power and Betfair Sportsbook, effectively the same company. Paddy Power are offering 7 places each way this week. Betfair Sportsbook are only offering 6, and they're exactly the same odds. So don't make the mistake of placing your bet with Betfair Sportsbook this week. Open up a Paddy Power account if you haven't got one and use their 7 places each way. I don't understand why one company are offering 6 places each way and the other are offering 7. That's not cricket.
Bit odd, though.
Not the first time. They did it the other week as well.
Yeah, because but they're different companies to the majority of the population of the of camp, well, punters.
Mm-hmm. But I guarantee they're using the odds, the same odds compiler in the same office.
Almost certainly they're sharing data. Yeah, it would be mad to not have that, you know, use that advantage that you have. But yeah, you're trying to hit different parts of the market, different perceptions of people, or I get it. It's not nice, but that's why we all use Odds Checker to look for the best combo of price and places.
If you're a Betfair Sportsbook account holder, just don't stumble into the fact that you could be getting better terms with Paddy Power with exactly the same odds. Let's be clear.
Not for Aaron Rye, though. He's 35-1 in both.
Let's hope he doesn't finish 7th for Betfair Sportsbook backers.
No.
You probably find that Betfair will swap it round later on today. I mean, like William Hill are very good at that, aren't they? They start with 6 places and all of a sudden, oh, lo and behold, we're 8 places each way after a couple of hours of opening up. I think it's just worth pointing these things out to listeners because this kind of stuff does go on. Not that it should, but it does. Yeah, that's it. Right, okay. I'm going to go in reverse order this week. Why not? Now, I wouldn't be surprised if one of you's on board with this, but I'm on SEP with a P, Stracker.
I've joined you.
I've got 66-1 with Ladbrokes, 7 places each way. And as we know, SEP on Bermuda grass, to me, is almost an auto bet. He's got a decent record here. He finished 6th here in 2022. Pretty much, I mean, just list any Bermuda grass course in the United States, and he tends to play it very, very nicely. No Ryder Cup issues this year, which I think put him under quite a lot of strain at the end of last season because he didn't play it very well. But he clearly got a captain's pick quite rightly and performed nicely in the Ryder Cup. But actually, just under the surface, Sepp's playing half decent golf from tee to green. I'm seeing him at 15th for tee to green over the last 8 weeks across the PGA Tour. That also includes the Olympics. He's 11th for strokes gained on approach over the last 8 weeks. So I think Sepp and Bermuda grass are a marriage made in heaven. He actually lives in Birmingham, Alabama, so it all kind of makes sense. He does like the southern United States in terms of playing his golf. Barry, that's the kind of player that you would be on, Sepp Straka here.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember we were talking about him for this last year. And I may well have backed him and I think maybe the pressure of trying to perform to get into the team impacted his performance here. Yeah. So hopefully he's a bit more freed up this year.
He's got none of that. And at 18th in the FedEx Cup rankings, he's playing Eastlake. So he's on a free roll this week, which I think makes him really dangerous.
Yeah.
If you look at Sepp Straka, he doesn't, and I've said this with, you know, we know all this with different players. You look at Sepp doesn't finish 5th, 3rd and win. He will literally show little or nothing and then just bang. So I think he's far better just coming in with no expectations.
Yeah, there's enough good there in the game to warrant the bet at 60-ish to 1.
Yeah. My shortest price is, I know for a fact that Barry won't be on the top one, and I doubt if either of you are on the second one either. I'm on Patrick Cantlay at 22-1 with Bet365, 8 places each way. He is literally a FedEx Cup playoff phenomenon. He won the 2021 FedEx Cup championship, if you can call it that. He's won 3 FedEx Cup playoff events, the 2022 BMW, the 2022 Tour Championship, and the 2023 BMW. He's finished runner-up in two more, the 2019 BMW. It's almost as if he likes the BMW. Also, he was second here last year, and we were all booing and hissing him on the basis that he was in a playoff with Lucas Glover. I believe he hit it in the water on the 18th tee in the playoff.
Yep.
From memory. Might have been the first or the second hole. But I just think Cantlay, he will take, I think, and this kind of happened in 2021. Xander won the Olympics, and lo and behold, Patrick then stood up and won the FedEx Cup. Yeah? Wouldn't be surprised if he's sitting there, Patrick, going, well, I know I've been on a lot of these calls with the Liv, and we're doing all these negotiations to get this merger through, but Xander winning two majors this year and almost winning the gold medal at in Paris a few weeks ago, because Xander was right in the mix before falling away in the final round. I think Cantlay's going to take something from that. And don't forget with Cantlay, he finished a genuine third place at the US Open, where, standing on 18-tee, he still had a chance of winning that. So Cantlay is moving forward. I think he's trending. He's all over my strokes gained off the tee, on approach and tee to green numbers. So I'm on Cantlay at 22-1. And I've just got, we had Aaron Rye last week. Could this, and I know this is ridiculous, and I know as I'm saying it, I don't really believe it, but could Tommy Fleetwood finally get his first PGA Tour victory in America this week on a golf course that's absolutely perfect for him? I managed to snare 25-1 with Betfred, eight places each way, Monday morning. Well, it was kind of Monday lunchtime on Tommy Fleetwood. Because there is nothing about Tommy's game right now that would suggest to me that he shouldn't be in contention this week.
Mm.
He's getting back to the Tommy of old, hitting fairways, hitting tons of greens. And there is a statistic here. I'm just looking at my sheet. Lucas Glover had finished third here the year before when he won here last year. There's Zalatoris had had a top eight. Basically, all the winners going back to Berger here had finished in the top 15 at Southwind before winning the title here. So there is something. It's a very sticky golf course for form. Fleetwood has, I believe, a third and a fourth in 2019 and a third here last year. Coming in off form of sixth and tenth. And four of his seven career wins on the DP World Tour have been preceded by a third, a sixth and a fourth. He tends to be Matt Kuchar back in his prime, obvious. That's just how Tommy tends to win. So I'm on him at 25-1. I expect when he shoots 78 in round... When he shoots 78 on Thursday and Aaron Rye shoots 63, I will be cussing myself for picking Tommy Fleetwood over Aaron Rye, as I did.
We'll gently remind you. I think it's going to be too hot for Tommy's big head of hair this week. The humidity is it's going to have like all sorts of like frizz problems going on. And
hopefully he's packed his frizzies.
Yeah. Man, it would be so good.
A product.
It'd be so good to have Tommy... just get that PGA Tour win, clear that, I don't know, monkey off his, it's not, probably not, maybe it's not a monkey on his back, but just clear that thing, just get it done and see what he could do with that freedom then.
So, he's outside, but he's outside the top 30 in the FedEx Cup. So he needs to do something, otherwise he's not going to the Tour Championship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he hasn't got to do a great deal because he's 32nd, but there's still he's still got to beat players above him of the likes of Taylor Pendrith, who's going for a President's Cup spot, Chris Kirk, Sam Burns, Corey Connors, who's on the bubble at 30. He'll be very popular this week, Corey Connors. Very, very popular because he is Mr. Ball Strike. Mm. Cam Young's above him as well at 31. So Tommy needs to do something to get into the Tour Championship either this week or next week. So I just think maybe everything's aligning for him, but you know, I've thought that for donkey's years. My last tip, and this was the first one I wrote, and I was tipping this guy up middle of last week for this event. Now, his eight-week statistics, and I think a lot of models might miss him because although he's been playing really good golf, he's either been contending or there's a couple of missed cuts in the last 8 weeks. He missed the cut at the British Open and he missed the cut at the Rocket Mortgage. So actually that tends to screw his trending statistics, if you see what I mean, because there's some bad stats in there. But Tom Kim is absolutely ripe to win this week. I've got 30-1 with Betfred, 8 place each way on Tom Kim. He is absolutely ripe to win this. He's my most comfortable selection. He was second, third and sixth here 12 months ago after Thursday, Friday and Saturday and then fell away. Bearing in mind that he was having those ankle problems that caused him all of that grief at the Open where he finished second. I think Tom Kim, the way he's hitting the ball, the way he's hitting fairways, the way he's picking his way, hitting greens, I think Tom Kim is very, very good bet this week. Also, his first PGA Tour victory on champion Bermuda grass at Sedgefield Country Club in 2022. It's the right length, of course, and he's just playing some great golf. And Tom Kim, you'd go at the start of the year, well, Tom Kim's going to be in the Tour Championship, isn't he? No problem at all. He currently sits 43rd in the FedEx Cup. So he needs something big to get into that top 30. He's a good player. He's an elite player that's way out of where he should be in the rankings. Because the start of this year, let's be frank, he was not very good. I think until June, he hadn't got anything better than 17th. And it is a shortened year because they started in January. So yeah, I'm on Tom Kim at 40-1. There was bigger out there with less places, but you know me, I do like to get 8 places on board. So for me to complete, Cantlay at 22-1, 2 points each way. 2 points each way on Tommy Fleetwood at 25-1. I've got 2 points each way at 30-1 with Tom Kim, and I've got a point each way at 66-1 on Sepp with a P, Straka. Are you on Tom Kim, Paul?
No, it'd be interesting to see how he goes after the disappointment of the Olympics, and you know that getting a medal meant an awful lot to him, and just missing out was clearly disappointing for him. But yeah, he's the kind of player who could bounce back from that, I think. No, I'm on Hideki at 30-1, so same kind of price point. He did snare that final bronze medal at the Olympics, and I think he can push on from that. You know, with me and Hideki, I do like to look very specifically at his putting numbers, and going back to when he won at the Genesis for me earlier in the year, I just spotted a spark with a putter the outing before, and it was interesting to see that he gained nearly 5 strokes with a putter over the 4 days at Le Golf National, and that's a big tick in the box for me when I'm looking to pick a player or to back a player who I think is going to suit a particular course. He was second here back at the 2021 WGC St Jude, so has that course form, and as you say, the course form is quite sticky around here alongside the weather, and I think he is the kind of player who could go and beat this world-class field, and it is truly a world-class field if he's anywhere near his best. So yeah, Hideki 30-1 was the play for me alongside Aaron Rye. But yeah, they're the only two that I've backed this week. I can see the logic with Sepp Straka. I can see the logic with all of them, really. I can't go near Patrick Cantlay. It's just me.
It's a human thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's. But yeah, I can see that he has a lot of credit or credentials to go well this week. So I can see why you've gone down that route. But yeah,
you might find the punters out there are wanting someone at 100-1 or more.
Mm,
Is there anyone, if you're looking at the list at the moment, is there anyone at triple digits that we could say that we'd be interested in?
But you mentioned Johnny...
an each-way punt or someone at a low value for DraftKings. I mean, I've mentioned Vegas. I think Vegas has been playing some good stuff recently. I mean, believe it or not, 2022, Zalatoris won at 28-1. We were on board. I was on board that week. Sepp Strucker and Lucas Glover were 500-1 each in the places, and Brian Harman was 100-1. So it does happen.
Yeah. No.
Who's it going to be? Anyone out there that you fancy at that kind of price?
I haven't slipped. I haven't got. I haven't. Nobody's popped in that region of the market for me. I have one more bet, but it's a good deal shorter.
Who have you got?
I have a former champion here, second in strokes gained at the course, according to your table. And I feel like
I know who he's going for. He's going for the President's Cup angle here as well, which I don't think is a bad angle.
He's just outside the bubble on the President's Cup table in 15th. I don't know. Yeah. I listened to him on the No Laying Up podcast recently. It sounds like things are starting to come together. There was really good signs at the Open, but for that, I don't know, 9 holes where he seems to have been spiked with a few tabs of acid. He shot a lot over that 9, but then battled back. So I think there's something coming there. There was lots of good golf, and I always like to... approach it from it's easier to clean up the bad golf than it is to find the birdies and the good stuff. And so if he can just do a little bit more tidying and trimming around the edges of the bad stuff, I think there could be a win there. So Justin Thomas.
He was on my short list.
He's 6 wins on Bermuda.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's his best surface in my opinion.
And he was 2nd in the humidity maxed out model.
Yeah, he needs something, doesn't he? He won't want a captain's pick and be ranked 14th in the standings. So that's creating a problem for Jim, isn't it? Mm. Plus, he just wants to play good golf again. He's struggled for quite a while now, hasn't he, JT?
Yeah, but he's been working on it this year.
He's improving. He's improving.
Interesting to hear him talk through what had happened to his swing, and it had just things had just gotten out of place, and himself and his dad they just didn't see it, but they kind of figured things out, and it's starting to come together, and it has been all year. There is just that one box to check, which is get a win. But I think even if he doesn't win, getting into the automatic 12 for the President's Cup would be psychologically brilliant for him, because I think there's some form of hangover about getting the pick last year for the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. All right, let's move on. The D plus D real in capitals, Czech Masters. Over to you, Paul. And a brand new course, just to add some intrigue.
Yeah, it's all about the capitals, isn't it?
It is in Prague, yeah.
Yeah, the course is the Oaks course, which is all in capitals as well. So we should pay attention to these capitalised letters, because they obviously mean something substantial, don't they?
Yeah, we've got some quality PGA Tour refugees coming across for this, haven't we? I've seen Brandt Snedeker, Kevin Chappell, Luke Donald's playing.
Yeah, yeah.
Rory Sabatini in his home event.
You get these because of that kind of the swap, didn't they? So they send over a few players each tournament from the PGA Tour in exchange for the 10 that they snaffled from the top end of the...
I'm not sure it's a fair exchange, but yeah.
It doesn't feel the fairest of exchanges, does it? But yeah, we do get these odd names that pop up, don't we? But yeah, first of a couple of low-key events to get us back into the action and the on the DP World Tour following the break for the Olympics. So we've got the Czech Masters this week, and then we've got the Danish Golf Championship next week, which replaces the Maiden Himmerland. I don't know if they're going to class it as the same event and just rename it, but it's certainly not at Himmerland, and it's certainly not being called the Maiden Himmerland. So for all intents and purposes, it's a new course, but or new event. But yeah, Czech Masters this week, 156 man full field event out on the outskirts of Prague. Tom McKibben the favourite, 18-1. Richard Mansell 22s. Bernd Wiesberger 22-1. Rio Hizatsune 25-1. I'd be surprised if Barry's not in him. Matthew Jordan 25s. Ewan Ferguson 25s. Jordan Smith 25s. Conor Syme 25s. Lots of players in that kind of bracket. 28-1 bar those. So as you can see from the prices, it's pretty.
Oh, Jordan's getting open. Quite long now, isn't he? Jordan Smith at 25-1, not his usual 22 or 18-1.
No, still time yet, Steve. He still could get backed into second favourite, which is kind of where he sits. There seems to be this this loving with Tom McKibben as well at the top of the market, doesn't there? He's kind of installed as the favourite in all of these events where Rasmus Højgaard isn't playing and. Yeah, can't be shifted, even though he's not played particularly well over the last couple of starts. But there you go. Yeah, Boyle Sports, eight places each way, a fifth of the odds as standard. Bet365, Betfred, as you mentioned for your event, both have eight place each way options. So do shop about. There's some good combinations of each way terms and prices available this week. Now, in terms of the course, it is all changed this year. We've spent the previous 9 years at the Albatross course, which is down to the southwest of Prague. We're heading to Pastures New this year, and it's the newly built PGA National Oaks, all in capitals, course, which is just a few miles to the east. So it's to the southeast of Prague rather than to the southwest. It's a Kyle Phillips design. So with Kyle Phillips, we see a few of his designs on the course. Think King's Barnes, which is the one that's probably his most famous, I guess, which is part of the Dunhill Links rotation each year. Dundonald Links, which was the host for the 2017 Scottish Open. Verdura, which hosted the Sicilian Open, or the Rocco Forte, as it was known for a while earlier in the 2010s. Yas Links, more recently, that was the 2023 Abu Dhabi Championship, and then perhaps more relevance in recent times, Bernardus Golf, which hosted the Dutch Open for 3 years before this year. So there's a fair bit of Kyle Phillips design data to dig through this for this particular event. Fun and games with a course, though. You'll love this, Steve. I didn't mention it to you yesterday because you were busy scribbling your tips down, but when this event was declared on the DP World Tour website, the course was listed as a 6,960-yard par 72. Right. You probably know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, I think I do, yeah.
So, you know, I looked at it last week. I thought, oh, yeah, short course. Perhaps we can get an angle with this. And then I thought about it a bit more because the previous course, the Albatross course at again, just outside Prague, was nearly 7,500 yards long. And there's a little bit of altitude around here as well. It's about 3 or 4%, something like that. So a sub-7,000-yard course, par 72 at altitude, really didn't make any sense. So I had a little dig through, and I found on the Kyle Phillips websites where he talks about his particular designs that it was described as a 7,614-yard par 72, which is a bit of a difference. It's slightly different. And if you do the maths, then 7,614 in metres is, near as damn it, 6,960. So it looks like they got it just completely wrong on the DP World Tour website. So in my preview, I'd written this quite disparaging paragraph about how I'd calculated what the actual the yardage was, and I was basing my thought process on that. And then just before I published, they corrected it and put the correct yardage out, which was a bit disappointing, really, because I had to go and delete my paragraph, which I was quite proud of. Anyway, it is...
Well, good investigation, Paul. The length that we go to for our readers and our listeners is unbelievable.
Yeah. But here's the frustration from a punter perspective, because if you miss that and you'd placed your bets on Monday morning, Monday lunchtime, any time up to about 3 o'clock on Monday, you're looking at it and thinking, oh, that's a short course. I've got some ideas of players who could go well here. And you go and place your bets, then you realise it's actually 600 yards longer. That's a bit naughty, really. Anyway, off my soapbox now. Is the course itself partially tree-lined on some of the holes. Others are much more exposed. Cole Phillips, he tends to do a lot of seaside, linksy kind of courses. This is inland, but he certainly couldn't resist adding a few features. There's some long fescue grass there, really quite extensive bunkering. The bunkering is probably the most dangerous part of the course. There's a lot of bunkers about in landing areas and particularly around the greens as well. The greens are large, they're fast, multi-tier. They've used 007 bentgrass greens, which we've seen a few times recently. It must be quite a common or a popular strain right now, the 007 bentgrass. In terms of the weather, hot and sunny first 3 days. Chance of the odd thundery shower here and there. It looks like it's going to be much cooler on Sunday if the forecast sticks. And it's going to drop from around about 90 degrees Fahrenheit to 70. So from 32-ish down to about 20, 21 in terms of centigrade. Rain possible on Sunday without any thundery input by the looks of it. So maybe they have to play through some wet and cooler conditions. Very little wind, though. I'm expecting it to be quite scorable, particularly if they've had to water the greens, which at 90 degrees, I'm sure they'll have to some degree. But yeah, fairways, I'm expecting to be pretty firm, pretty fast for the first 3 days at least. And we'll see how it goes from there. There isn't much to go on here because it is the first time we've seen the course. The course only opened fully in 2020, so this is the first event that it's been used for in any serious capacity. So even the older Czech Masters data is, you know, you can probably draw some comparisons between the Albatross and this course to certain degrees. But, you know, again, for all intents and purposes, we're starting from a blank canvas here. I'll give you an idea of who's won the Czech Masters, and then I'll move on to the four that I've backed. 2014, Jamie Donaldson. Thomas Peters has won it twice. We were on Hayden Portis back in 2017 at 66-1 when he won there. Johannes Veerman's won recently, 2021. Max Kiefer. Last year was Todd Clements at 400-1, who came in without as much as a single top 20 in the calendar year to date before winning at the Albatross course. So that was a bit of a coup for the bookies. If you managed to pick Todd Clements last year, then very, very well done to you. But of course, that's all pretty much history now because we've moved to this new course. So yeah, as to how much credence you give the previous data, totally up to you. But I've listed it on the stats pages on the site anyway, just for reference if you want to dig through. I've backed four, and then I'll bring you boys in, see if you've got any interest in this particular event. Ewan Ferguson, I've backed at 25-1. He's my headline selection this week. Back to winning ways at the BMW International Open at the start of last month. And we've seen with Ewan that he can rattle off a couple of wins. In fact, he very nearly won three times back in 2022. He won the Qatar Masters, he won the ISPS World Invitational. It nearly won the Made in Himmerland as well. And it was only Oliver Wilson whose putter was absolutely red hot on the final nine who prevented him winning three tournaments in pretty quick succession back in 2022. So one of these players, when he finds top gear, can stick around and can rattle off decent contending performances. 22nd at Troon last time out. That was his best major performance. Couple of top 12 finishes in the Czech Republic over his time from his Challenge Tour days as well. Ninth in the season for strokes gained approach. That's a statistic I like for this course. Eighth last year at the Barnardus Golf Track. That's another Cole Phillips design. I think he goes close this week. Ewan Ferguson, I think he could be one of the guys at the very top of the leaderboard come Sunday, alongside potentially Matthew Jordan, same price, 25-1. If you look at the last three Czech Masters winners, all of them were breaking their DP World Tour maiden. And I think with Jordan, he's one of those that's more than likely going to be breaking through and getting his first win sooner rather than later. And this seems to be quite a good fit for him this week, I think. 11th for strokes gained off the tee, 18th approach, 10th for tee to green for the season to date. They're really strong strokes gained numbers that I think correlate nicely with how this course is going to set up this week. And he seems to be putting in lots of contending performances, lots of top 10s or top 15s, top 20s, those kind of results. Top 5s in Kenya, a little bit of altitude in Kenya, of course. The Soudal Open, 26th at the Scottish Open, and then T10 for the second year in succession at the Open Championship. Really was impressive at the Open once again, and with his form heading in the right direction, I think he'd go well here on a course that I think suits quite nicely. And two slightly longer prices to finish. Daniel Brown, 55-1. Another who really impressed at Troon. 10th in the end, but he was far more prominent throughout. A lot of column inches and a lot of interviews and a lot of airtime for Dan Brown. And I think that's got to do him the world of good. We were on him last year at the ISPS World Invitational when he won. He got his breakthrough there. That was in this exact week last year. So for those of you who like biorhythm analysis, that ticks that particular box. And that came after a short summer break, much as he's coming into this week. Followed the top 10 on his previous start. That was over on the Barracuda, I think, from memory, over on the PGA Tour. And then came across and won the ISPS. Top 10 at the Open Championship in his last start. Again, correlates very nice. Very similar scenario this year to last. And if he plays like he did at Troon, then he's got to go close, I think. Fourth for strokes gained off the tee. Led the field for strokes game putting. 55-1 for Dan Brown, I thought was a good price. And the final one, I'm sticking with Joe Dean. I backed him at the BMW International Open recently. Didn't do much, 49th there, but again, performed well at the Open, 25th at Troon. And that was a good performance for Joe Dean. And I guess looking at this from a the perspective of it being a new course to pretty much everyone in the field, other than those who have played it casually, then that takes away a lot of the disadvantage that a player like Joe Dean, who's making his debut at nearly every course that he plays right now, takes that out of the equation. Nowhere near as much of a disadvantage this week as he has been in previous weeks. I think he's got the game to contend here as well. He putts bent grass well, second in Kenya, fifth at Soudal Open, second at the KLM Open over the last few weeks and months. So I think that breakthrough's come in. Could well be this week, Joe Dean at 66s. So my four, Dean, Brown, Matthew Jordan and Ewan Ferguson. You on his at Sune, Barry?
No, too short.
Yeah, price was a bit skinny, wasn't it?
Yeah, was it last week? He was trying to get into the top 70 with a. I think he needed to win to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's in the President's Cup rankings. Does he need to win to get into that? Is it just too much requirement to win? And that can kind of, I don't know, just didn't like the price.
Mm.
And that's kind of stupid being price proud, but. Like again, it's the DP World Tour new course. Not for me. And I don't trust anybody on the DP World Tour, so that's why I've gone for even less trustworthy people and triple digit prices. I've got three. I've got very. I've done up a predictor, mostly tee to green. I'm looking for. And I've come up with three. Don't have much more beyond those reasons for them. But Jacques Kruiswijk from South Africa. Just looking at his profile on the DP World Tour website, he was one of the longest on tour for a lot of the years coming up to this year, and this year is really fallen off. So I don't know what's, if it's an injury or if the equipment is just not matching up with them, but really dropped off on distance and accuracy off the tee. So yeah, great, right? Yeah, really good time to jump on board. I've gone for Aaron Cockerill. I know you've backed him a couple of times.
Yeah.
And then finally, who was the other one? Where is it? I've already put it on. Matthias Schwab.
Yeah, been on Schwab recently. Yeah, crucify his pronunciation, but yeah, decent record at in the Czech Republic in general. So I can
that
see
was one of the reasons as well. Yeah, and yeah. Schwab's got a ninth and a fifth in the Czech too. So
yeah, and it's difficult to know how this course will correlate, but you know, I guess if you look at the raw numbers to Albatross, the previous venue, then it doesn't seem that dissimilar. So yeah, the challenges could be quite transferable, we shall see. But yeah, I don't blame you for having a little punt a little bit further down, Barry. It's these new course challenges that we get thrown quite regularly on the DP World Tour can throw up some odd results. And of course, Todd Clements at 400-1 last year tells you that odd results can happen. What about you, Steve? You got anything on your radar?
I always love players that are dropping down from the PGA Tour to the DP World Tour. I think it's a great angle. And I've found a player that's finished fourth, first and fourth in the Czech Republic in his career. Two at challenge level and one last year at the Czech Masters on the old course. The other thing of note with him is he deliberately stayed in Europe after the Olympic men's competition. So he didn't go back for the Wyndham. Though he's clearly made a decision to spend some time back in Europe. He is Finnish. Sami Falamäki. He shot a 61 at the John Deere Classic a few weeks ago in round one. He also shot a 65-66 finish to finish 12th. Now, if you're finishing 12th at the John Deere Classic and you're also opening with a 67 at the Olympics, he was sixth after round one. I think you're in half-decent nick. So he's clearly got an affinity with the Czech Republic. He's pretty long off the tee, isn't he, Falamäki?
Yeah.
I'm on him at 40-1 in this field for Sami Falamäki is a decent bet. And I would follow you in on Joe Dean. There's something about him I quite like.
Yeah, something's coming with him. A win's coming, I think.
Yeah, so Sammy and Joe Dean for me.
Very good.
I think we're done. It's been a packed show, and Matt Kuchar has been added to Steve Bamford's post-it note of doom. I'm going to have to get a bigger post-it note. I will be adding him as soon as I finish this podcast. I hope your bets go well, chaps.
Yeah, best of luck, boys.
You too, boys.
Best of luck to you. Best of luck to listeners. Hope your bets and DK teams do well. We will be back next week. The BMW Championship on the PGA Tour. And Paul, what have you got?
Yeah, it's the Danish Golf Championship next week. New course.
That's had a few different names over the years, isn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah, they can't call it the Made in Himmerland because we're going to Lupka Golf Resort in Aarhus, Denmark. I'll brush up my pronunciation for next week.
Okay. I hope your bets go well, listeners, and we will see you next week. Goodbye.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. Cause it's the golf betting system, the golf betting system, it's the golf.